Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
That's right, Doug Whaley, brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. Doug with us from 9 o'clock until 10. Good morning to you, Doug. How we doing?
A little chilly. Used to being around 70 degrees this time of day. Take a nice little walk, sit by the pool. So I'm adjusting.
Oh. You know, we even had a nice day the other day.
Yeah, we did.
I think the high was 56.
Yep.
Felt like summer.
It did.
I was walking around my backyard in a Speedo, Doran.
Reminds me of a time I was doing a spring pro day in Minnesota, and it was 30 degrees. So I'm walking to the school to the workout, and people are in shorts. There was drop top that drove by with the
You're kidding
top
me.
Down. So I'm talking to the coach. I'm like, what's going on? He goes, Doug, you got to understand. Last week, the wind chill was minus 20. So you're talking about a 50-degree swing.
Oh, man.
So think about it. If it was 50 and a 50-degree swing is 100, you're going to be like, oh, this is warm. I was like, I get it. So it's all relative. So that's why you thought it was a summer day, spring day.
It felt great because we just came from some negative temperatures.
Absolutely.
Not that long ago. I was at the Orange Bowl in 2011, and it was like 50 degrees in the evening time. And me and all my West Virginia hooligans were like, oh, this is not bad. Then the wind started blowing. It was cold. But everyone who was a local, all kinds of bundled up.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I thought they were all soft. And I still think that to this day.
My mom was a teacher in Phoenix for a while. If it was below 40, they'd cancel recess for elementary school.
Yeah. My kid was out there yesterday.
Right.
She came home with all kind of sand and dirt in her pants.
Yep.
In her pockets. How does that happen?
On purpose.
Must be collecting it.
Yeah, she's collecting it.
Perhaps she's weighing in at the NFL Combine.
She might.
That's it. There you go.
Did you hear Doran's story on the way in? Aaron Hernandez eating nickels so that he could make a certain weight. What kind of weird stuff did you see at the combine?
One of the weirdest interviews I saw was a prominent pass rusher, ended up having an okay career, but win the first round. And we were just like, so what's the favorite part of football? He goes, sacks. Why is that? Sacks are better than sex. I'm like, okay. This guy's truly dedicated to football. You want to talk about living, breathing, eating, sleeping football? That's what you want.
Sacks are better than sex.
Yes. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Was that process more important than the actual running and catching? Just getting to know the guys?
Just getting to know the guys. Because when you really look at it, when you're watching those workouts, if you're really trying to take notes, by the time you jot down anything you saw, you've missed another rep. So the actual evaluation of what they do on the field, you're going to watch it on tape back in the office. So what you're really looking for is the interview process to drill down on any questions you have on their off-the-field football character, and then finding out about medical. Is there anything that wasn't reported at the school or in your college scouts weren't able to unearth and find out, is there anything we need to really research on this guy medically, but more importantly from the interviews?
Would you treat those interviews different by position? Like, or would they all be like kind of just baseline interviews? Like, all right, you have a quarterback coming in, it's the same as if you have a D lineman coming in.
You try to tailor it to that person. And what we did actually in Buffalo was we used to be just like, all right, interview, hey, tell me about your family, hit certain things. But we started looking at it. That's redundant. That's why you send out your scouts, to get all that baseline information. And then we started thinking, when you really, truly get a guy from hunched shoulders, like all tense and I'm prepared for this interview, to slouching in the chair, relaxing, throw his film on and just say, okay, let's talk ball. And then they just slouch in the chair. They talk ball. Oh, man, that coach called a bad play there. Or, hey, this guy didn't do the right. Truly, their personality comes out and it just flows out without them even recognize. They become unguarded and they are who they are. And you're like, okay, that's the person we're going to have in the locker room, away from the coaches, away from the GM, away from everybody. This is the personality we're going to see when he hits with all the other. And then that's how you can start piecing together that locker room, which we were talking about before. And the locker room is what really drives championships.
You're a great people person, and so is Mike Tomlin. I know Mike Tomlin loves that.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there talking to the guys. He loves all the football elements of it, but I know he loves shooting it with those dudes. Did you love it? Did you like that part of the process?
You do, because it shows you some of the things these guys have had to overcome to get to where they are. You're like, whoa. And it lets you understand how thankful you are for where, what, how I grew up compared to what other people did. But more importantly, just the laser focus that these guys have and the obstacles that we would be like insurmountable. They're just like, yeah, that's life. They don't even think twice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, that's what I went through. I don't know anything better or different. So I thought everybody had to overcome these things. No. So it shows you the guys. And obviously the media focuses on the guys that make it and they turn left instead of right. All the guys that do the good things and stay out of trouble, they should be focused on and commended. Because think about it now. What if I gave you $40 million now and you're married with a couple kids? I don't know how I'd handle it. Imagine coming up and being 19, 20, not coming from anything, not having financial literacy or anybody to say, hey, take that money and just max out your 401k, stuff like that. A lot of people don't know about this stuff and we take for granted. So to see that maturation process and be able to be a part of that, to have you be instrumental in someone helping their family for generational wealth and someone to obtain a goal, it's a pretty special feeling.
Like, it puts so many things in perspective. And, you know, those things and how people grew up, like, that's why you get to know your teammates. And I learned that in college, but it really put things in perspective for me. You remember Leotis McKelvin in Buffalo? I remember he just got a new contract when I was there, and he was walking around the locker room. He was like, you know, I'm about to make $20 million. And he said, I grew up sharing a bed with my sisters.
Yeah.
He's like, I had 8 brothers and sisters. We all shared a room, and I had to share a bed with my brothers and sisters, and now I have $20 million. And I was just like, that was one of those times where I was like, I'll always remember that.
Yes.
Like, look where he came from, look where I came from, put everything in perspective.
I'll tell you another story. So I was an intern at the Steelers, and remember Charles Johnson, receiver from Colorado? We're sitting around, and we're at lunch or something like that, and one of the, I forget who said it, he goes, man, I'm starving. Charles Johnson looked at him and said, don't you ever say that. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm hungry. He goes, yeah, you're hungry. Starving is looking in your fridge and knowing mom doesn't get paid for 2 days and I don't know where my next meal is for the next 2 days. That's starving. Don't ever say that. I mean, he was dead serious. I was like, oh, I get it. I never say starving. Yeah, I'm hungry. So those are the type of things that, yeah, everybody looks at these professional athletes and anybody with success and saying, oh, what a great life. But a lot of these people and players and young men and young women that make it, they've overcome a lot.
Absolutely. You can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a nice little message in there. And I do think that there are coaches that, they're probably more than not, they care about the man as much as the football player. And I do think, you know, for all of gestures wildly, the Tomlin criticism, you heard Ryan Clark on the Pivot podcast last year talking about Mike Tomlin actually cares about you as a guy. It's got to go a long way. Like, you're not just a commodity. You're not just a vessel for winning. You're a man. You're a human being.
Well, I think it's very hard to separate. And you have to, because there's business, there's the game of football, and then there's real people, real young men. And a lot of these coaches have their own kids. Mm-hmm. And they're basically a father to a lot of the players in the locker room, and you do care about them. And I guarantee, and I'm willing to bet, that it's a very hard thing to separate of, all right, I have to push this person so far. This person might not make the team, but I also do care about them. I want to see them make the team, but it's also a business, and I got to make sure that they're on the right track, like things of that. Like, especially in college, a little bit more.
Yeah,
That's probably that's a big factor, I think, in a lot of young people's development as adults. Right. Is if you're a Division I or if you're an athlete, is who your head coach is and how they help guide you, and who your position coach is and how they help guide you and develop you into becoming a young adult. Definitely in college is very important.
And that's where it's going to be interesting, where this NIL thing goes, because like you said, Dorm, back in the day, college was about, okay, molding young men to not only be able to play football, but to transition them from teenagers to young adults to be productive in society. Now, with the way NIL is happening and revenue share, it's going to be business decisions. And I know a lot, and I'm sure that's why you've seen a deluge of coaches say, I'm out. This isn't what I signed up for. Because I signed up for crafting young men or women, young athletes, to be productive members of society while they're learning a skill set that hopefully can take them to professional heights that they've dreamed of. Now it's, hey, we have so much money and I have to win. I got to start making business decisions, not decisions to help someone grow as a person. And that's where it's going to be interesting to see how that is navigated from the top down. And I'm not talking only coaches, but from ADs and presidents to understand we're not institutions of higher learning anymore when it comes to athletics.
Mm-hmm.
We are businesses that need to make money and win.
And we see the trickle up now, too, with all the transfer portal stuff. Mm-hmm. Hey, we just saw it the other day, and I do want to get your thoughts on the Myles Garrett situation at some point during this hour. Myles Garrett puts a trade request out there like he's hitting the transfer portal,
mm-hmm.
like with a graphic in the background, this long message, Cooper Kupp, they've informed me that I'm going to be traded. Long message, there's a graphic in the background. And it's going to be tougher and tougher, and Doran and I have talked about this, in a team-centric sport, when all the way now up through the ranks, it's all been about individual, individual, individual. People don't care about facilities.
Mm-mm.
People don't care who you're playing with. Nope. I don't know how much people care about winning. Nope. They just want to go to the highest bidder. And I do understand that, because maybe this is your chance.
Yeah.
But there's no way that doesn't make its way and hasn't made its way to the NFL.
Oh, no doubt about it. And that's why I say it's such just a dichotomy, because I go back and forth, because when you get to being in the real world, you figure out your worth really quickly. You know? Yeah. Your worth is what someone's going to pay you. So I battle and I say, well, now this is really exposing these guys, these athletes, to real world scenarios right off the bat.
Before
they're ready for it. But it also lets them know that you don't deserve anything and you're not entitled to anything. You are worth what someone feels they're willing to pay you. So there's some good things and there's some bad things about it. I think we won't know the true impact on these young people's lives till down the road. And unfortunately, it's going to maybe, hopefully it's not too late, or hopefully it's not a pendulum swinging so far one way that it's damaging our youth. But we shall see. But it all comes down to the mighty dollar. And when the mighty dollar runs things, you got to roll with that in a capitalist society.
It's going to get worse. I mean, high school, it'll start getting into high school in the next couple of years. I mean, it already is, right?
Already, yeah. Florida is, you can NIL high school. I know West Virginia, you have unlimited transfer. You can live in Charleston and play in Wheeling and not even live there. You can just do it. And they have NIL. Yeah, so it's
insane.
Insane.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Is it Mike Tomlin's fault or Arthur Smith's fault that they stopped letting Russell Wilson audible at the line of scrimmage after that big offensive output in Cincinnati? I think that's important. I think the huge story here is you have a 10-time Pro Bowl quarterback who you say, nah, you're going to run what's called. We'll get to that with Doug coming up next. We want his thoughts on the Myles Garrett situation as well. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Big story in the Post-Gazette yesterday. Jerry Dulac, he writes, multiple sources have told the Post-Gazette the offense lacked imagination and that the audibles and route adjustments Wilson was making at the line of scrimmage were creating a conflict with offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. According to several sources, Smith did not want Wilson changing the plays at the line of scrimmage like he did in Cincinnati when they scored 44 points, deviating from the game plan. Wilson's desire to attack with the pass and throw down the field clashed with Smith's run-first mentality, causing philosophical friction between the two, end quote. We'll get into the blame game in a second here. Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock. Doug, why would you not let a 10-time Pro Bowl quarterback who was brought in to take you from good to great call checks at the line, especially after having your best offensive performance in pretty much a decade.
Before I answer that, let me try to unpack this. Are they saying that the friction between those two is the reason for the five-game slide, or that the friction between those two is when Arthur Smith stepped up and flexed his muscles and saying no more adjusting, and that's the slide?
I think it's a great question, Doug. The way I read it when I read the entire piece was that they were uncomfortable with the way they won against Cincinnati. That they want to be a team that runs, that controls the clock, and after Russ, and it was evident just watching on the TV copy, he's up there, he's gesticulating, he's doing all this stuff. We noted this at the time in the Ravens game, and then beyond after that, there was not as much of that from Russ. So I think what the story is trying to get across is after the Cincinnati game, they said, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hold off.
Hold off.
Yeah. And all right, so it's a production-based business. So I think we all have our answer right there. I think everybody, if Russell taking control of the offense puts up 40-some points against the division foe, and when Arthur Smith takes it over and the organizational philosophy of run first, you go on a five-game skid, I don't think we need to say much more. I think you're answering your question right now, and what it comes down to, and to finish my thought, sorry about that, is the way pro sports is constructed now with the amount of money and, more importantly, the amount of notoriety that goes around with things. Coaches are now talking about it's about my system, not my system putting players in the best position to be successful and help us win. And if this is truly true, we all understand now an organizational philosophy now is going to trump winning games. That's what I'm getting out of it.
Do you think it's Mike Tomlin or do you think it's Arthur
Smith? Organizational.
Yeah.
Organizational
the
philosophy.
The whole thing.
Is trumping putting players in the best position to show their talents in an NFL stage to help win games. If this is true, and if I'm unpacking it the way it sounds like it's happening, like we would rather run the ball and lose five straight than let a Hall of Fame quarterback that has won Super Bowl, been the two, should have won two if they would have put it in his hands, goes out there and shows you what he can do with his long resume and puts up 40-some points against the division opponent. You don't like it, and you make him, you put handcuffs on him, and you go on a five-game skid. I think that's pretty obvious that the organizational philosophy trumps right now putting the players they have on their roster now in positions to win.
Yeah, you fit what we do, not the other way around. We're not going to take the skill set of our collective and play to the strengths. This is how we want to play, and you better adapt to what we want to do. I also don't think it's an accident that you play Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Kansas City in succession, and all of a sudden it's, whoa, 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 whoa. We can't be throwing the ball all over the place. Like, we got to go up against the big dogs. Let's not turn the football over. Let's play Pittsburgh Steelers football and try to take it to these guys. And running the ball ain't the devil. Like, I'm not making it about that. Look at the Bills this year. Look at Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But when you're running on first down all the time, when you're not giving a quarterback freedom, when you see it's a stacked box, things of that nature, I mean, you're fighting with one of your hands tied behind your back.
And that's the difference. And I think I said it last week, is there's a difference between being committed to the run and being able to run when you need to. And being committed to the run is like, all right, we are going to be balanced and we're going to have 49 runs and 52 passes. That's what we're doing. It doesn't matter. Being able to run when you want to is when Philly gets the ball back with 10 minutes and saying, we're not going to give it back to the Steelers.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a team that is has the ability to run when they need to, not just committed to the run. And that's the difference. And that's where, and again, that's where I've said this multiple times. That's where I don't have an issue with their organizational philosophy. I think they just need to evolve that organizational philosophy to the 21st century of NFL football. You can still be a running team, but you got to be able to be an explosive team that has splash plays and puts up points. And then you can switch to that running team and run it down the throat to win the game.
Like, players are smart, right? I mean, players understand. They get the gist of things and why they're doing things and the situations that they're put in. They can kind of grasp that. I mean, if you're Justin Fields right now, why the hell would you want to come back here?
Yeah. And that's everybody's like, oh, are they going to get Russell Wilson or Justin? Now you got to think, well, will Wilson want to come back?
Right.
If you're stymieing me and putting handcuffs on me when I'm proving what I'm doing is correct, you're going to either have to overpay for me or I'm not coming back. And give me some assurances. That's another thing. What's that conversation going to be like when not Omar and Russell Wilson's agent, it's Russell Wilson, Mike T, and Arthur Smith when they're talking about, okay, what's the deal? That's where I'd like to be a fly on the wall to hear that conversation.
Well, and Doran, you've said this too, and I think especially now after this comes out, why the heck would a wide receiver want to come here?
Hey,
Christian Kirk, you get cut loose. We had interest in you at the trade deadline. Why don't you come here? You get to pick where you're going to go, right? You're a free agent. Why would you want to do that? Why would anybody want to come here? You don't know who the quarterback's going to be right now, but you know what the offense philosophy is, and it's let's bang our heads into a brick wall. So, like, the whole T. Higgins, you want T. Higgins, you can pay him $40 million. Like, do you want Cooper Kupp? Like, what if Cooper Kupp gets just cut loose, right? Which he could. You got a roster bonus coming up and all that. I ain't coming here. The hell would I want to come here? 412-928-9370. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. We were wondering aloud today, Doug, where this might have come from. And my theory is Russ knows the Steelers don't want him to come back. So he goes and his camp tells Jerry, well, Russ didn't suck the last five games of the season because Russ sucked. Yeah. He sucked because he was handcuffed. To me, when we've gone over a bunch of different machinations this morning, and I think all of them have merit in one way or the other, that's the one that I've landed on with an educated guess.
And I can see that. I mean, what you want to do is, especially from his camp, is put it out there that that five-game skid was not on him.
Right.
And before that five-game skid, when he had some ability to orchestrate that offense the way he felt was most appropriate to put up points and win games, they did. And when he got handcuffed, didn't happen. So when we start going into negotiations, don't use that five-game slide as something that's going to help temper the price tag. No. So it's all the game, the politics, and the maneuvering by agents, and that's why they get their 3%.
What a absolute sewer of – I mean, you're just navigating sewage as a general manager. I mean, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Like, absolutely.
These leaks come out left there. Do you ever get pushed to anything because of a leak?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's, okay, let's investigate it. And I always say – leaks are like analytics. You have to be aware of them and help inform your decision, but they can't drive your decision.
Yeah.
Absolutely cannot.
Myles Garrett has requested a trade. Is he going to get traded, though? That is the question. We'll talk to Doug about that coming up next. All the mechanics behind something as big as a Myles Garrett deal. Social media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Jerome Bettis last night at the Penguins game saying it's a hockey night in Pittsburgh.
It's time for hockey in Pittsburgh!
Hate to do that to the bus, but...
Did you hear that, Doug?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I heard it coming in.
I'm sorry, man. Bus, but you are the Biggest Loser. One more time.
It's time for hockey in
Might not be time for football for Myles Garrett in Cleveland anymore, though, Doug. He has requested a trade, and he did so in a public release instead of doing it behind closed doors and having Andrew Berry work that out. Now, if they trade him, they will get hit with a $36 million dead cap hit. But whoever acquires him the next couple of years, it's like a million and change each of the next few years in real salary. I think Cleveland could get a haul. They already have a $72 million cap hit they're dealing with, though, with Deshaun Watson. So, okay, Miles says trade me. They obviously don't have to do that. What do you think's going to happen? What would you do if you were in Andrew Berry's shoes?
Oh, so it's interesting because back in the day, before things started switching to where the players knew they had power and control to a certain extent, agent would call the GM and say, hey, listen, we're not happy. do we have permission to go out and find a trading partner for you? And you say yes or no. And usually if you say yes, the agent would go out, start calling teams and looking for somebody that would be interested. Nowadays, you skip all that. It's, hey, player, I'm not happy. Let me go out and voice my displeasure not only to the team, but no, not the team first, to the public first, and then talk through the media to get to the team. Now, I'm not saying he didn't approach them earlier, but that's where it's going, and it all started with our NBA, our conversation offline. Once the NBA and the players understood that without them, all this is nothing.
I think it was when LeBron went to South Beach, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. When they understand we have the power, and you hate to hear it, say it, but when owners were like, don't let the inmates run the asylum, inmates are running the asylum now because they know without them, you owners aren't making any money. So we're going to be able to flex our power and say, we want to go. Now, it's a little more restrictive in the NFL than the NBA, but you're talking about a guy that he could withhold his services. Will he get fined? Yes. But with the money being as great as it is, the money part of it is not going to play a major force in his deciding what he wants to do or how he goes about doing it. Now, you switch it to Andrew Berry. As a GM, you're like, okay, I would obviously reach out to him and his camp and say, okay, what's the root of this? Do you really want to get out? Do you just not like how we're doing business?
Are you trying to get more money?
Yeah. So find out what the root is and then chart a course of action after that. And if it's just, I'm just displeased and I understand that we're not going to go anywhere anytime soon and I'm at the tail end of my career, then you say, okay, let me see. I'll think about it, but it has to be something that's going to be a win-win for not only the Browns, but also you. Let's work together, see what this happens. But when you talk about those numbers, I think the cap's, what, 280 next year? You're talking about $100 million in just dead money. So you're talking about constructing a roster with a hand behind your back. You're going after $180 million worth of cap space when everybody's playing with 280 off two guys. Mm. Think about it that way.
Mm. What do you think they could get for him, and where do you think he'll land? What do you think the best fit would be for Myles Garrett, and what do you think that they could get back in return?
Probably, I'd ask for at least two ones plus. Now, let's think about this. Who is I'd look at teams that are a defensive end, impact defensive end away from making the Super Bowl.
Buffalo,
yeah. And they tried it with Von Miller. That didn't work. Absolutely. And they have a core right now. I don't know their free agents, but I don't think there's any marquee free agents coming up. So they are that guy away, which they did it before with Von. So, yeah, absolutely.
Should the Steelers consider doing the same thing with Watt?
Didn't I bring this up probably about a year and a half ago?
It makes my job real easy whenever I ask questions and know the answer to them. I mean, you're not... Ultimately, if they sign him to a contract extension, that's what they're going to do. Yeah. He's going to be one of, if not the highest paid defensive players in football for what he's done and not necessarily what he's going to do as he continues to age. And as good as he was this year, he wasn't what he has been. And each of the last 2 years down the stretch, he's got hurt. Steelers aren't winning a Super Bowl in the next three seasons. I love TJ Watt. Hell of a freaking football player. Seems like a hell of a guy.
Right.
But if you can move him and Garrett could net you two first-round picks, what could Watt net you? Why wouldn't you at least explore that before you get into the contract negotiations?
And as fans, they have to understand that as the affinity for TJ Watt, as great as it is, the affinity for winning championship supersedes any one person. And if TJ Watt could be that corner piece to get you to the foundation of a championship, you're still paying him a lot of respect because without your trade, we wouldn't have got piece X, Y, or Z to propel us to starting to compete for championships. Because as great as you are, TJ, and we love you and we all love you, and he's an alien, he's helped the Steelers win how many playoff games? Not Super Bowls, playoff games.
Big old goose egg.
So it just shows you it's the point of the sport. The sport is focused around quarterbacks. And TJ, no disrespect for your ability. You're a first ballot Hall of Famer. But for us to get to where we and our fans want us to go and are expecting us to go, you can help us. And it's by us trading you.
Don't you... If you're TJ Watt, wouldn't you want traded or explore wanting traded too? If you see Myles Garrett, I mean, I don't know, their relationship doesn't matter, but you see somebody that's in your same position, like, wouldn't you maybe want traded out to win a championship too? Like, or do you think that TJ thinks that they can do it here?
I don't know TJ that well, and I think just from the outside looking in, he might be one of those, hey, I'm a one-team guy, one-helmet guy, which, hey, that's great. But he could also say, he could look at him and be like, I'm helping you just as much as you're helping me. It's a win-win. We're not leaving. It's an amicable divorce because we both understand we've grown apart and we can help each other more by separating than staying together because the children are gone and all that stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yes. And that's where it's hard for fans to swallow and think about it. But when you break it down to the purest form, that might be the best move for the Steelers.
And I know that Garrett is under contract for 2 years. I still think the compensation would be darn near equal because whoever's trading for TJ Watt, the assumption there would be that you're going to sign him to that deal.
Right.
Why don't we talk a little Super Bowl with Doug? We have spent like zero time on the game this week, Doran. We'll do a little bit of that with Doug when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. And a reminder, the Fan turning 15. You're invited to our anniversary party February 26th, Rivers Casino. Party is free. You need a ticket, though, to get in. Head to Porky's Bar and Grill in Etna today from 5 o'clock until 6. The first 10 people get a pair of tickets. Plus, we will draw for a pair of tickets at 6. More details, 937thefan.com. Big game on Sunday. Doug, I kind of think the Eagles are going to win, but I can't bet on them because... if the Chiefs win, I won't be able to forgive myself for betting against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. How do you see this thing?
Exactly the same. I mean, my mind is all about Philly. Just the way, like I talked about, they've evolved. They can score when they want to and then pound the rock when they need to. And that, to me, and their defensive line is just coming after them. So, to me, that is... what the Steelers aspire to be, but they need the pieces to be that. But when you look at Patty Mahomes, and it's just, oh, yeah, what do you want me to win? Okay, I'll win it when the way I want to win it. And I'm just not bet. I would not bet against him, just like Brady, until he proves me wrong. Can't do it.
Not betting against him. Never.
Nah.
I haven't even thought about the Eagles. Like, I haven't even thought about being like, oh, well, nope. Like, there's teams that know how to play whenever the lights come on. And the Chiefs, they do this every single year almost, it feels like. They go through the regular season. It's like, oh, the Chiefs, they're human. Oh, my gosh, they don't look that great. And they'll have, like, a 15-2 record. And then they get in the playoffs, and they do the same thing every year. They know how to play in the Super Bowl. They know how to play in the AFC Championship game. They win. It doesn't matter what it looks like. They just know how to win. And I just don't – I think it's a great story on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a great story regardless, and that's where I think that the big storyline should be with the Super Bowl. Like, regardless who wins,
yes,
it's going to be a great story. It'll be for Jalen Hurts. It'll be for the Eagles in the last 5 years. You get there twice, and you win one.
Mm-hmm.
For the Chiefs, I mean, three-peat, it's going to be a great story. But at the end of the day, I can't bring myself to think that the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, and I think he's a great player, are going to out-duel Patrick Mahomes. I think that Jalen Hurts and the Eagles will find a way to mess it up, and that's all it takes.
Yeah.
And the best part, even if the Eagles win, Nick Sirianni will be on the hot seat game two next week, next year.
Right. Well, right. Honestly, if they lose, all joking aside, do you think he'll be not on the hot seat, but you think that
people are going to be like, he's the reason he's holding them back, the Eagles back. Absolutely. No doubt. That's how it was earlier in the year. So it's definitely going to switch right back to him. Oh, he's the problem.
I think both he and Hurts will be under fire if they don't win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we built this super roster. You can't win it with Hurts. Kind of like the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. And I think that Hurts is a better player than Jimmy Garoppolo, but you get what I'm saying. I also wonder, weirdly, who Tom Brady's rooting for. Like, he's calling the game for Fox, He lost to the Eagles in a Super Bowl in Nick Foles, but you've got Patrick Mahomes fairly quickly
he's rooting for
chasing
the Eagles.
His record. Yeah, I think he's rooting for the Eagles too, yeah. Doran.
He's rooting for the Eagles. He's the only Patrick Mahomes to take that number one spot.
Yeah.
He's close.
And you know him as a competitor.
Like. Oh, as a competitor, for sure.
What's that noise?
Somebody got some bass.
That is the bass.
Yeah. It's your Tahoe. Right?
All right, Doug, this was wonderful.
Great, fellas.
Thanks for coming in. We'll talk to you next week. That's Doug Whaley. Good stuff from Callis today.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.